Dr. Beth Kozenda from Western is going to talk about the disks of the Perseids, two Perseid stars listed there. Go ahead.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm working on a project right now where I'm trying to characterize the disks of Psi Persei and 48 Persei. And my goals, which I left somewhat intentionally vague, are to use a fairly large number or fairly large set of observations to improve some model. Improve my model constraints, and then see as well if how well I can refine the estimates of inclination angles that we have for these. Actually, let me back up. Why these two stars in particular? I'll get to that in a minute. But what we know so far is that they have some similarities, but they also have drastically different inclination angles. So it makes them interesting. All right, so my approach to the study. I'm making a series of computational models. I'm using the BE disk code, which uses this power law, as we see here. So I'm just picking initial densities and power law drop-offs here, seeing what happens. I'm taking all of the output from BE disk, running that through BE ray, which gives me some observables out that I can work with. And then we've got a new code that we're testing right now. So what I'm doing is taking the results of that new code, which, if everything's going well, will correctly predict visibilities. I can compare those directly to a large set of interferometric observations that I have from NPOI for both stars. So why these two stars in particular? Well, we know that they're both mid-BE stars. They have drastically different inclination angles. 48 per, I always mix this up, so forgive me if I do it again. 48 per, we see relatively pole-on, and Psi per is more edge-on. So it makes it an interesting laboratory for determining what when inclination angle is going to do to our observation. And there's also a recent study by Dela from 2011 that I've taken as a starting point. They had some good results with what they did, and I have a bit more data. This is what they have. So we have some Gaussian disks here for 48 per and for Psi per. You see they're kind of similar in spectral type, and we have their... Did anyone tell you I'm a nervous speaker? All right, let's try this again. All right, and we see that there is a considerable difference in the two inclination angles. So I looked at this study and thought, okay, I have a heck of a lot of data for both stars, so what can I do with this? What can I do to expand on their results? So like I said, good start. This is my UNV plane sky coverage for Psi per and 48 per respectively. Psi per is kind of an interesting set in particular because I actually cover three different years. Yes, two, 3 years. Anyway. we actually have three different years here. We have considerable sky coverage. 48 per, we don't have quite the same level of temporal coverage, but the sky coverage overall is still quite good. So taking those, putting them as the squared visibility versus spatial frequency, we see what we've got. We've got, last time I counted, about 10 different baselines here for Psi per and several for 48 per. I like what we have to work with. I'm feeling optimistic. So here we go. These are our observations. What I'm doing right now is testing a data analysis pipeline. BE disk, we're already somewhat familiar with that. We know it works fairly well. That's giving us non-local thermodynamic equilibrium models. What we're doing is taking the output from BE disk, running it through BE ray, which is solving the transfer equation throughout the disk. And what that's doing ultimately is generating some observables that we can use. We can get a disk image, or we can get an image from BE ray. Now, this new code that we're using is taking a 2D Fourier transform of the image output that we're getting from BE ray and translating that into our squared visibility, our direct observable from interferometry. So We're in the process of testing this new code. We're starting to get some results from it. When I started this whole thing, I actually didn't know what I was working with, so let's talk about some preliminary results. I went through in the last few weeks, and I've made 260 models in BE Disk for each of the two stars. And as just as an initial analysis, I picked 12 for each star. Just two N and row knot pairs, and then I used three different inclination angles with those when I ran them through BE Ray. BE Ray, when we solve the transfer equation, we could tell it which inclination angles to consider. So I just chose three that seemed somewhat reasonable to me. Now that's the good news. The bad news is the results are very preliminary. This is what we've got so far. This is all the data that we've got for SciPer. And we fit a major axis here and a minor axis here. And the agreement with the data was not what I was hoping for. The chi-squared on the order of about 14, reduced chi-squared, that is. And, well, at least I know this isn't it, and we've still got work to do. But it's a start. And just a sec. I defy anyone here to out-nervous me.
We're all just as nervous, just that we keep it hidden better.
You know, I'm trying. Anyway, for this, I chose an N of 2.5, a row knot of 10 to the minus 11, and just went with it and see what I got. Obviously, there's further work to do. 48 per, I got a little bit of a better result in some regards. I don't have a distinction between my major and minor axis yet, but what I do have at N equals 3 and row knot is 10 to the minus 10, I have a reduced chi-square of around 5. So this hasn't completely destroyed my optimism. And yeah, despite the nerves, I do approach research with a fairly high degree of optimism. So at least I have a starting point. I have a general direction to go. Now, notice that for 48 per, I chose 515 and 10 degrees as my inclination angles, much shallower than what they used in the DeLaw study. And I tried them because, hey, why not? It's a starting point. I also ran some models where I used different N and row knot pairs. I had N equals 2.5 and N equals 3, and row knot equal to 10 to the minus 9 and 10 to the minus 10. And I ran a set of models. And these are held at 30 degrees inclination. And as you can see, I'm getting some better results here, I think. At least we're distinguishing between major and minor axes and mostly passes through the data points. Again, we're showing there's still a lot of work left to do, but this is a new code. We're still working on verifying it, and at least it's some progress. And this is also telling me that my 5, 10, and 15 estimate was probably too low. Okay. So my next steps, obviously finalizing the verification of the modeling code. It seems to be working reasonably well, especially since I'm taking some stabs in the dark at the moment. Obviously, I'm going to have to refine my choices for N and row knot. That's progressing. And again, as I change the other two, change the inclination angle, see what fits best. And if everything works out the way it should, and I think it will ultimately, constrain the disk model parameters and maybe even leave here with a PhD. All right, thank you.
Probably you're close to Ed John, mm-hmm. and your major and minor axes are pretty close to each other. So did you consider a larger difference between the size of the major aches and the minor aches because of that projection?
I haven't yet.
How long does it take you to generate one of these models to say compared
to? For BE disk, a set of models can take me a few days to run. The BE ray models, for a similar number, we're down to hours.
Okay, so it's just a computation time to explore.
Exactly. Yeah, and just as a caveat, some of these results just came in this past Friday, so I've been putting together what I can with it.